RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
In the shotgun, Mahomes, four-man front, receiver in motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown, it's caught. Hardman caught the ball, the Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years!
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez.
That's right. You heard it. Last play of the season. First team on the clock. Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. We got Robbie Triano handling producing duties today. But Ant, you heard the clip.
Last play of the entire football. For whatever reason, I feel like that's the first time I've heard it phrased in that way. That's the last play of the season. It is done. It is over.
As I was reading... I don't know why. Well, back in the day, my dad, he subscribed to Sports Illustrated, and he had that Thrill of Victory, Agony of Defeat, videotape series, whatever it was. And I remember watching that. And so I sometimes like living in the agony of defeat, where I like reading, I like going into that city's, you know, productions and reading their newspapers and whoever's covering the team. So the Niners
are the same way. You need a moisturizer, by the way?
No, I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yep, gotcha.
And it was interesting to see like how sad and down they were because you try to put yourself in that moment. That's what I love. I love that kind of stuff.
Especially when you read that stuff when you're younger, and it gives you kind of the gravity of sports and how much it means to people, especially the folks who are out there participating in it. And, man, it's deep. Dude, yeah. These passions run deep. Well, these emotions run deep.
Bosa saying, you know, like, I could have done more. We could have done more. And you're like, yeah, because, you know, any team can win, right? On any game. So you always feel like, yeah, we could have done more to, like, tip the scales. But to see it just, like, happening right there, or see somebody writing about it and just talking about how everybody was still and motionless in the San Francisco locker room, facing away from their lockers, right? I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You know, but they couldn't. But the players saying they couldn't look each other in the eye, I don't want to be a part of that. It's, like, really beautiful just to think about it, right? Because it's true raw emotion. It's a beautiful game. You get so close. They talk about Shanahan's kids crying in the locker room when as they were the last ones to leave the locker. Like, that's real. Kids probably thought they were about to go to school. They're like, I got to go to school tomorrow,
yeah,
mom.
Right,
you
right.
didn't win the game. They're going to make fun of me, man.
So I was telling you the other night when we were together, this is my son is 6. So this was the first Super Bowl viewing experience for him that he was kind of a little more invested in. You know, 49ers, Chiefs. He doesn't necessarily have a deep rooting interest in either one. But he's got a buddy at school who's a big Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs fan. And really, my son, this playoff run for football is kind of the first time where he's seemed more, well, one thing, we've been more stingy with screen time than we probably need to be. But then in addition to that, he just is at a point now where he's more invested in being willing to be stable and still and just kind of watch sports and ask a bunch of questions about football and the playoff run in the NFL, and about basketball. We watch a lot of Big Ten basketball in my house, men's and women's, for obvious reasons, do my Sirius XM show. And, you know, he's just been willing to sit and watch sports, asking us to record sports for him. So,
really?
Hey, DVR this, record that. Yeah, he's got some sense for that. I don't know that he's got a deep understanding of it yet, but yeah, he doesn't know
watching,
fully what that means, but yeah.
Dad was on one of these teams.
Right, yeah, he's cool. Got some understanding. It's kind of building of it. But so we, you know, he watched the Super Bowl, but then he didn't get all the way into overtime because the game was obviously very late, went into OT. So it was after bedtime. So he asked, we promised him we'd record overtime for him. But he went to bed, and since his buddy was rooting for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, then our son rooting for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs too. And so he went to bed thinking that the 49ers, since they had the lead, is like, oh, Chiefs are going to lose. Chiefs are going to lose. And so, you know, he wasn't crying about it or whatever. He's like, all right, you know, the team I'm rooting for isn't going to win the game. So he went to bed with that idea in his head. Then he woke up the next morning, and my wife told him the Chiefs won. So he was just giddy. He was just so happy that the team he was hoping. Not right then and there. They got to get out the door to school. But then first thing he wanted to do when he got home from school yesterday was watch the rest of the game. So that was what he got to do. So you got kind of both ends of that. He went to bed disappointed, thinking that the team he was rooting for was going to lose. And then he woke up the next morning and found out they won. And he's got this big smile on his face. It's just cheesing ear to ear for some team he didn't even know existed 3 weeks ago. So now he's like, oh, my buddy. And now I've seen him on TV a couple of times. Up until maybe a month ago, only athlete my son could have picked out by name was Caitlin Clark. Just Iowa women's basketball. It's the only athlete he could have really told you. I know who that is. I know the jersey number. I can pick the face out of a lineup. But now he's getting more invested in this thing. So it was fun watching the Super Bowl through that lens of him really, for the first time, being invested and actually viewing it and asking questions and who's where and why is Patrick Mahomes on the sideline? Well, he doesn't play defense. So right now, their defense is out there. He's the quarterback. He's on offense. It's just building that understanding for him for the first time, really trying to invest in viewing.
Someone, if he's going to pick someone, he picked the right person.
Yeah, right.
And I think that, you know, no matter what two eyes you were using to watch that game, you were impressed by the play of Patrick Mahomes. You know, seeing the, you know, the last drive, I mean, it's just impressive. And then, you know, when San Fran kicked the field goal in overtime, I was in a room full of people. It was not many of us, like my dad, my mom, and a couple of friends, and my wife and my kids. And we all just looked at each other and we're like, Patrick Mahomes.
It's the time,
and
right?
My dad and I, we bet, you know, against each other. He thought the Niners were going to win. And I told him, I said, Pops, you just don't bet against greatness. That's what I said before the game. It's what I've been saying all week. It's what I've been saying leading up to the Super Bowl. And then right when that happened, I just looked at him. I said, you don't bet against greatness. And then sure enough, he's watching Mahomes just do his thing all the way down the field.
Right.
And it really is that, right? I mean, I think watching that, it kind of just, it goes back to, like, we argue a lot about Justin Fields and the Bears and, you know, a team, right? Regardless, right? What a team should do. And then, like, you just sometimes forget that, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Sometimes you just lose to the best player on the field that day. And that day, it you know, more often than not, when he's on the field, he is the best player and he wins in situations like that. And it was just, it was really incredible to watch.
Yeah. And he, honestly, in every Super Bowl he's been in, we've seen better versions of Patrick Mahomes than the guy who's been like full games in the Super Bowls. He hasn't been clean and sharp in every individual Super Bowl he's played in, but certainly in all three that he's won, his game has gotten better throughout and he's played his best in the second half, in the fourth quarter, in this case, in overtime as well. And his game has grown throughout. That to me is one of the things that stands out, aside from just the pure evaluation when he came out in the draft process of whether or not this air raid guy from Texas Tech, who, you know, his highlights are all kind of helter-skelter, and is that really going to transfer to the NFL? But the physical tools, the arm talent, the pure arm strength, the horsepower that he can throw with, but then also the nuance he can pass the ball with, the mobility, the crazy things he can just do with where he can place the football and that intuitive sense he has for playmaking, all those things. But what's difficult to scout is how a player will command the big moment when they get to the NFL. Especially a guy who, you know, yeah, he played in the Big 12, played at Texas Tech. So, yeah, he was in some loud stadiums and all those things. But Patrick Mahomes never played for a national championship in college. He didn't play for a Big 12 championship in college. So it's harder to assess how most of these players, unless you've seen them, like Justin Fields, we've seen him play for a national championship. We've seen him play for a big – those types of things. The players at the most elite programs, you at least get more data points on that. How do they handle the biggest stages? We saw Deshaun Watson take down Alabama, that type of thing. Then most guys, you don't get to assess them at that level with how they handle the intuitive, the intangible of those moments. And Patrick Mahomes falls into that category where we didn't get to see him play for it all in college. So you don't know for sure how they handle that at the professional level. That to me is what stands out amongst anything else, because a lot of guys, few have his pure physical abilities, but a lot of guys are extremely physically gifted when they get to the NFL. But Mahomes' command of the big moment and how, even in Super Bowls where he hasn't been at his peak early in the game, how he's gotten better throughout the game and in these game-winning scenarios with it on the line and leading his team and in crunch time, critical moments, making plays, making throws, making decisions with his arm and his legs. That to me is what's most exceptional about just seeing the arc of his, you know, first half dozen years playing professional football, first half decade, you know, 5 years as a starter at this point, and seeing what he's become, because his mastery of the moment is one of those things you couldn't assess that in college, but it is definitely like even Tom Brady, he was the comeback guy. He was the late game drive guy in college. I fell victim to a Tom Brady late game drive playing against Michigan. He did it to us my sophomore. He came to Iowa City. We had a lead in the second half. I'm sacking Tom Brady. I'm running off the field. I'm thinking we're taking down the Wolverines. Then here we go in the fourth quarter, and Tom Brady just leads them on a game-winning drive and takes them down. He was that same dude in college. Looks like you got him pegged. First three quarters, you got him pinned in. He's not putting up big numbers. And then that game-winning drive is there. So there was an inkling of that even with him in college. Mahomes, big moment, mastery of game-winning drive, scenarios on the biggest stages, really didn't know that for sure. But now seeing him master that at this level and do it on the biggest stages from jump, really, his first year as a starter, that to me stands out amongst everything else that we evaluate about him. All the highlights and everything else are what will continue to kind of make him live on in, you know, beyond the time that he plays. We'll always kind of see all those Jordan-esque highlights, the Jordan of football right now, Patrick Mahomes. But really what to me separates him from so many other guys beyond the physical is the intangible, is the fact that now he just kind of takes that mantle from Tom Brady. And he's Tom Brady souped up because he's got all those physical traits that Brady didn't necessarily possess. He's beyond Brady as far as the dimensions he can bring to the game with his raw talents, but then also he seems to have that mastery of the moment that Tom Brady always had.
He's NFL vet Anthony Herron. I am Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. I mean, when you're looking at Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it's almost as if after the Super Bowl, people then kind of just said, oh yeah, well, this really shouldn't be a question anymore. You're talking about like the GOAT is going to be Patrick Mahomes for a lot of the reasons that you bring up where, you know, you have that swag at the end of a game to be able to not fall to the pressure and come through, you know, for your team and whatever that might look like. And then, but at the same time, you know, you do everything else well, right? And I think that's what it is. He's this hybrid of a guy. But the winning is what puts the cherry on top. The winning is what allows you to then even have the discussion about whether or not he's one of the best ever. But it's how he's doing it. It's just like, yeah, you know, I'm just really good. So, like, you know what? Check this out, bro. Keep me close. Give me the ball. And just, what do you need? A field goal? Got you. Even easier. Touchdown. Ha. All right. I'll get it for you, but right. It's going to be tough. Watch this. Hold on. Hold my beer. You know, it's like, and it's so incredible to watch. And you marvel at it. But again, it goes back to, you know, every team wanting, you know, that guy, that Tom Brady, that Patrick Mahomes. But there are just so many other guys underneath that. And it's like, you know, it's tough to duplicate because you're looking at a one-on-one, right? One-on-one. And that is from what they knew. So, I mean, but is he better? Is a Patrick Mahomes, because you talk about Tom Brady, right? Mm-hmm. Let's put the two of them together. Just when we're talking about what greatness looks like, is it just simply that they're better than everyone else, right? You've played in the NFL. I mean, these are guys that have gotten to the NFL, which is the best of the best. But then to be able to play on a different level where you're just, is that what it is? Or they have something that, you know, that makes them better? Or are they just better? I mean, you played there. It's humbling probably to talk about, but, you know.
I think that this five-year stretch that we've watched from Patrick Mahomes is, I can't think of any other five-year stretch of quarterback play, certainly to start a career as a starter. This is the best beginning of a career that we've ever seen. Now, I would say there was probably a five-year stretch from maybe Peyton Manning. Now, you didn't get the three Super Bowls in 5 years from Peyton Manning, but in sheer mastery of his position and just having the game on a string in the way that Mahomes seems to right now, I'd say maybe there's a comparable five-year Peyton Manning stretch, maybe a comparable five-year Brett Favre stretch in there somewhere where they're deeper into their careers and grew into this. Probably as Tom Brady, like there was nothing from Tom Brady in his 20s that rivals anything we're seeing right now from Patrick Mahomes, aside from being with an organization that won at an extremely high level. But Tom Brady was not the lead reason. I think we were talking about this last week. Tom Brady was not the lead reason the Patriots were winning. It took a long time, frankly, for the league, for players around the National Football League to truly grow in their respect of Tom Brady as an individual player, as an individual talent. He got there, but then once he got into his 30s, that was where Tom Brady became truly the engine of the New England Patriots and, you know, was just like Peyton Manning, audibilizing at the line of scrimmage, putting the ball in really unique places for his playmakers to be able to get to it. And he grew into that, but he wasn't that guy in his 20s, but he became that in his 30s. And then, you know, what really separated Brady was that he continued. He was better in his 40s, frankly, than he was throughout much of his 30s. We frankly never saw a quarterback continue to ascend into his 40s in the way that Tom Brady did. So he continued to add to his legacy at an age that we had never seen before. But this five-year stretch right now, there is probably a five-year Brady stretch somewhere within that that would rival this. But it's very few. It's very far between. It's extremely elite what we've seen this five-year stretch of play from Patrick Mahomes. So 5 years versus 5 years, I'd be willing to say this may be the best five-year stretch we've seen from any quarterback, from any player, perhaps in the history of the game. That being said, the longevity discussion to me, as far as how I evaluate the GOAT, who's the greatest of all time, I would need to see this sustained for longer before putting Patrick Mahomes at the top of the list. You know, just in
but let's say
NFL
Ant,
lore.
But let's say Ant, you know, for the rest of his career, let's say, you know, he's still young. Let's say he still probably has 10 years left, let's just say. And let's say out of those 10, you know, he misses the playoffs six times in the playoffs, makes it a Super Bowl, wins one more Super Bowl, and the rest of the times he's like in there, you know, something like that. There you go. There's his career.
If he continues anywhere near this for another decade, then yeah, he's greatest of all time. Like, I don't think he needs to. He was even talking about this a bit, I think, after the game. I don't believe he needs to hit seven Super Bowls to be considered the GOAT. But if he just sustainability, consistency is so hard at this level. Me and Jason Goff used to argue about this a lot. Because a lot of folks, after that first year, were ready to say, Patrick Mahomes, man, this is the best quarterback in football right now. I tend to take more of a wait-and-see approach. So, all right, he got into year two. I'm like, all right, I'm interested. Got through year two, wins the Super Bowl. Okay, we're seeing multiple seasons of this, of that guy, the maturity, the mastery of the moment, and all this talent that he possesses. Okay, yeah, this looks sustainable to me. But I was more wait-and-see early on. But, okay. If he's anywhere near this for another decade, I believe he is certainly on a path to be the greatest ever.
So, I mean, not only did you play in the NFL, but you also were an executive at a very high level as well. And you know, when you're looking at this situation, you're looking at, you know, the other teams in the AFC, like, how do you combat that? You got a Patrick Mahomes there, a guy that you feel like, you know, is, like you mentioned, the Jordan of the NFL right now. Like, how are you? Because people have to be held accountable. Heads still have to roll. Right. Somebody's got to be responsible for Patrick Mahomes' greatness.
Yeah.
And are, you know, it's like, so what do you do? Like, I mean, you put on that cap as well, you know?
Because it goes beyond quarterback. And this is one of the things that I continue to try to remind folks of. Because, yes, there's not likely to be anyone else in football that has a quarterback who is on par with Patrick Mahomes. Right. There are very few who you would even deign to enter into that conversation. But that being said, there are still exceptional teams in football. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the teams who've won at the most consistent levels of the sport have been able to do so with a variety of quarterbacks. And so, yes, Patrick Mahomes is the elite of the elite. There's no one else in football right now that's doing it at that most important position like him. But he was still maybe a Kyle Shanahan decision away from losing a Super Bowl. He had to come back in the fourth quarter against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts is not a quarterback that is the level of Patrick Mahomes either. So we've seen this where teams can certainly compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. When the game is tight and you leave that door ajar, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, they're going to find a way to kick that door down. But they haven't just been able to just kind of make this happen and lay waste to everybody in their path. They haven't blown anybody out in a Super Bowl yet. So teams are there within striking distance, but it's about how good is your organization? Do you have not only a Matthew Stafford put his best season of his career together and an Aaron Donald that can be your show closer on the other side of the line of scrimmage? Those things end up mattering with the totality of your organization. So that's where, you know, we'll certainly have our Justin Fields, the number one pick, and all that discussion like we always love having here. But to put the full roster together, to put a coaching staff together that gives you that opportunity to continue having bites at that apple, that's where the most sustainable franchises have operated, as opposed to just figuring out, can we find our Patrick Mahomes? Because there's few of those walking the earth and guys who've ever been that.
Very, very few. And it just feels like, you know, where the games were close, like you mentioned, it just, you watch a Super Bowl and you say to yourself, this isn't Patrick Mahomes doing this against, you know, the Bears. This is the best team in the NFL. And he's still treating the Niners like his little brother, where he's like,
but now yeah, to be I'm fair, in the first. They're in the mix, though. Like, that was one of the better games the Niners defense has played in a while, man. Like, he wasn't just kind of marching up and down the field on them throughout.
But it still felt like at the end of the game, it still felt like,
right.
Like, yeah, I was kind of tripping in the beginning. You guys got the lead on me. But, little bro, I had to go sun you twice at the end of the game. And, like, so confident. Like, no. I don't know about where you were at, but like I felt like everyone was just like, damn, this is about to happen.
Right.
Like, it was so matter of fact, which if you watch the NFL or if you watch the Bears, like that's just not something that's
not
guaranteed
that easy.
In overtime of a Super Bowl. Yeah. And he was just like, hold my cigarette. Babe, the kids are crying. I got to be. I'll be back. I'll get the milk on the way home. Don't worry. I got to go win this Super Bowl real quick.
We're in a stretch now where it feels inevitable, where it feels like Patrick Mahomes is the Thanos of the league, where if they're there at the end, they're going to find a way to make it happen. And you know, yes, now Chiefs fans are starting to be insufferable, just like my in-laws were insufferable when Tom Brady and the Patriots. And my wife is from New England. All her family loves the Patriots. And so when the Patriots were rolling over the league and winning over and over again, they're insufferable. It's hard to be around, especially in that stretch where the Patriots were ascending. The Celtics won an NBA championship. The Red Sox had their dynasty going, too. There was a lot that there was to deal with at that point. So all the New England sports fans were much. They were a bit much during that time. But specific to the Patriots, man, there was this inevitability where every couple of years they're right there and they were making it happen. But the Patriots, to me, while the inevitability felt like it, this feels different, though, because it is the Patrick Mahomes-led version of the Chiefs.
Right.
Like this defense that kept him in the game the other night, this is the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has had at any point. Up until this Super Bowl, the other AFC championships they've made, the other Super Bowls they've won, have been Patrick Mahomes having to be Houdini at times, having to lay waste to the opposing defense. That's not who the Chiefs have been this season, and that's one of those things that impresses me as much as anything with this version of the Chiefs, because you could argue this may have been the best coaching job that Andy Reid did. Certainly as defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo deserves a lot of credit there as well. And Patrick Mahomes playing within himself. You know, not putting the ball in harm's way as frequently, even though his talents would allow him to do so, but saying that I got to play under control, I got to play some field position, I got to make sure we're in position to punt the football away. If I am going to audibleize at the line of scrimmage, I'm going to make sure I'm keeping Isaiah Pacheco involved in this offense too. And this is a different Chiefs Super Bowl than we've seen at any point in the past, and that's one of the things that made the Patriots so sustainable, because early on, they weren't relying on Tom Brady. They were relying on their defense and their run game and their ball control, and they grew into that point where they relied more on Brady, and at first it was Brady and slot receivers. Then it was Brady and tight ends. Then it was Brady with Randy Moss and the deep ball. Then it devolved back into Brady and tight ends, and then it was Brady and slot receivers again. There were so many different versions of the Patriots winning Super Bowls over that 20-year stretch. And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady continued to evolve throughout that entire time. So at some point, Travis Kelce's like in, what, his mid-30s at this point?
34, I think.
At some point, yes. He will ride off into the sunset with Taylor or whomever else. Patrick Mahomes will still be there. Andy Reid is 65. Bill Belichick just retired at 72.
Yeah, he got time.
He could have another handful of years, another 7 years or more doing it at this level as a coach. And if he does that, you got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and they show they can continue to evolve, then there's no reason to think that there's not a chasmous sort of degree where the league will have to find a way to catch up to them to stop them from continuing to roll in the way that they are. But there's a lot of folks hoping they can, where, you know, right in that same division, you got other quarterbacks, right in that same conference, you got quarterbacks and organizations top to bottom. Like, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens aren't going anywhere. Right. He's still going to be hungry for that Super Bowl.
So Harbaugh's not going nowhere. They won't. I mean, they're
Justin Herbert's got Jim Harbaugh now.
It's going to be interesting, man. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl stat line, 34 for 46, 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 9 rushes for 66 yards, 3 sacks, 2 fumbles, none of them lost. But, you know, it sounds like a stat line. You know, the 46 obviously sounds crazy, but, you know, the 300 yards, 2 tutties and an interception, 3 sacks. Sounds like an NFL stat line.
It was just this controlled performance.
And who does it is what really matters. All right. The Bears are trying to get to that place because we want to be the obnoxious fans. We want to be the ones that are winning constantly. And in order to do that, you have to have a successful offseason. You have to have a successful draft. And Anthony Herron, not only do you get to hear him here on 670 Score on Fox 32, but of course, he knows his college better than anybody else from the Big Ten Network. He calls the All-American high school games as well. So I am curious. There are guys in the draft that I want to know about. So the next segment is called What You Hearing, Anthony Herron. See what I did there? What You Hearing, Herron?
I'm thinking of what you put down.
All right, What You Hearing, Herron? I'm going to ask him some names that are from the Big Ten around college football. He'll give us his assessments of that, where we can be a better informed audience leading up to this draft happening in April. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
8, 13, and counting. McCord will let it fly over the middle. Caught Harrison. Touchdown. Maserati Marv. Marvin Harrison Jr. with the 14-yard score. And just like that, Ohio State marches it right down the field and scores.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What you hearing? Anthony Herron. You know, I had a teacher at Lane Tech, and he would emphasize the aura.
Aura?
In the lane. Okay. Yeah. Down south. He would always be like, and he would always, you know, point that out. So, aura. Okay. I'm like, I got it. I see what you're doing over there. Over there. There. But what you're hearing, Herron, on some of these draft picks that are going to be coming out soon. And a lot of people are, you know, they're big on what's going to happen at the top of the draft. 1-2, a little Caleb Williams, Drake May, we think. Most people think.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, some people think Patriots are going Jaden Daniels. I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Then trade, like Josh Rock said. Trade the second round pick. I looked at a lot of Patriots just because I obsessively go over to other people's cities and try to see who's writing about them and what they're thinking with their mock drafts. And a lot of their people have it as a third round pick. This year's third, which is like the 68th pick or something like that
for
the Patriots. Like, that's what they think the Patriots should give up for Justin Fields. And then Josh Rock's like, no, second round pick. And I think that makes sense. A Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3 and a Justin Fields for a second round pick? Why are you smiling like that? I know you.
I mean, second round pick sounds great, man.
And you put an asterisk, if they are to move on from Justin Fields.
Right, yeah. I mean, the idea of the first round pick for Justin Fields has been thrown out there. That's where I'm smiling, because I think the second round pick seems reasonable. A first round pick,
especially number
34, always sounded far-fetched to me. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, early second round pick too. But that's where you wonder what the value is, how Justin Fields is viewed value-wise by the rest of the National Football League. You know, some teams who have faced him, like the Atlanta Falcons, who he lit up, might feel like, man, this guy's a budding star, and maybe they're willing to give up more. Where if teams saw certain games, and everyone will evaluate the full scope of, you know, every game he's played the last couple of years here in Chicago, certainly, but then put their own sort of score on what they think his potential is, what they think his ceiling is. But then in the end, once they get into kind of the granular detail of the numbers, all right, so there's theoretically 2 years left on his rookie deal, the whatever, like $6 million he's available this year. Then if you pick up the fifth-year option, go up over $20 million for that next year if you want that ability to kind of keep him. So whatever level of contract control is there, the other squad would be picking that up. Is he a guy that you view as a shoe-in to come in and definitively start for you, or is he someone you think is a high-level veteran to come in and compete for that starting job? And if so, is he potentially your quarterback of the future? Different teams will have a different scale for what they think Justin Fields is capable of. And for the Bears, with their value perspective, in the end, you know, just like the comments that, I think that the afternoon show, I think I heard them playing some of the stuff with Jared Payton. We'll get to some of that tonight as well with his interview with Kevin Warren. The Bears, I do think, legitimately place a high value on Justin Fields in their own right as well. They just happen to be in this unique position of having the number one overall pick for the second year in a row in a draft cycle that is viewed as being QB rich. And also, now if they do think one of these draft picks can come in and help lead this burgeoning roster into a potential championship future, then there's a value in moving on from a quarterback who has shown quality at the NFL level. So that scale will be a little bit different team by team. But to me, a second round pick for Justin Fields, that does sound reasonable to me, to think that he, you know, especially for teams that are QB hungry, if somebody's a little bit QB starved, then to me a second round pick certainly sounds reasonable for that.
Okay. So sticking with our, you know, what you're hearing, we'll start with quarterbacks.
Okay.
Big Ten quarterbacks, to be specific. There's a lot of questions, or, you know, just opinions as to whether or not J.J. McCarthy, right, the Michigan quarterback, will make his way into the first round. What you hearing about J.J. McCarthy?
I am here and have been hearing for a little bit with folks I've talked to about J.J. McCarthy, folks in the league, around the league, that like a lot of what they've seen, that are excited about the tangible, you know, the mobility, the arm strength, but are even more excited in their early evaluation of the intangible of J.J. McCarthy. Chicago area talent here, so a prospect who's, you know, no stranger to suburban Chicago and grew up a Bears fan, won a national championship at Michigan, and seeing that guy and what he was able to do to be a part of where Jim Harbaugh was already winning at a high level but hadn't taken down Ohio State, hadn't won a Big Ten title. And then J.J. McCarthy was the backup on the first Big Ten championship they won a few seasons ago, backup to Cade McNamara, who's now at the University of Iowa, but then won a Big Ten title as a starter, and then this past season, his second year as a starter, third year in the program, won a national championship. The main knock on J.J. McCarthy is that he's still a bit green, still a bit raw, just in the consistency of his fundamentals at the position, and wasn't a volume passer in Michigan's offense. That's one of the things that I think will be beneficial to Justin Herbert when Jim Harbaugh is there coaching him with the Chargers. Well, at the same time for J.J. McCarthy, the film that you get to evaluate is going to be a bit different than a lot of the other quarterbacks coming out, because you're not going to see games where he's throwing the ball 40 times or 50 times for a million yards. That's few and far between on his film, and so he's not as refined as a passer as a lot of these other guys. He will likely end up being a first-round pick. There are some folks who already have him as a shoe-in first-round pick that I've spoken to. Other folks think that he's not there yet but could ascend into the first round if he does show in this pre-draft process here that he is refining his fundamentals, his footwork, the consistency of his accuracy, his ability to get on the dry erase board and say, here's what I'm seeing, here's coverages and diagnosing defenses, and just talk the game through a QB's lens at a high level, that folks would think, yeah, I could certainly see him developing into a first-round prospect in the months to come here.
All right, so, I mean, obviously you're talking about J.J. McCarthy sticking in the Big Ten. You talked about how their offense obviously is predicated on the run. We know we'll get to running backs in a second. But there are also, you know, a couple of Michigan wide receivers that are coming out in the draft that, right. You know, obviously the Bears, in the event that they trade down and they don't address the wide receiver position in the first round, maybe, you know, it's something that they can focus on later, and maybe they'll be looking at some of these guys. So Michigan has two of them, right? Roman Wilson being one of them and Cornelius Johnson. What can you say about the Wolverine tandem at the wide receiver position?
Roman Wilson, I think, is going to open up a lot of eyes.
But you're hearing.
Right, yeah.
But you're hearing.
Roman Wilson is going to open up a lot of eyes when he gets to the combine, because he was a big playmaker for Michigan. He was really their main, aside from the tight end position, when you're looking at wide receivers, Roman Wilson was the main big play guy. And in any games where Michigan threw the ball with a little bit more volume, and there wasn't a lot of it over the last couple of seasons, but he was a guy who was capable of making the big play. And he was also, what NFL teams are going to love is that it's easier on film to see his competitive temperament, where in Michigan's offense, if you're a wide receiver, you got to block because they're going to run the ball with volume. They're going to use some RPO where they get into the edge with the quarterback and with Donovan Edwards, the backup running back for the Wolverines. So you got to block as a wide receiver. Roman Wilson is a willing blocker.
Okay.
And this past season especially, he was a guy who they used in the slot. And he could go get the deep ball as well, both in the slot and lined up wide outside. He's not going to compare with the Roma Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., these Malik Nabers. He's not going to compare with some of those guys who are going to go high in the first round. But when he gets to the combine, I think folks are going to be pleasantly surprised. He does have a top gear to him. It just wasn't utilized as much in Michigan's offense with the way they operated there. But he is a competitive dynamo who's physical as a blocker, who runs after the catch, and who rises up in the big moment. He was the guy, one of the guys that Michigan went to when they needed a big play, a big catch, and with some certainty late in games. He showed this season, this past season, he could be that guy. So the evaluation, I think, of Roman Wilson, already with what he did at the Senior Bowl, some folks are really impressed with that. And I think especially once he gets to Indianapolis and runs the combine, there'll be some folks pretty impressed with the top gear that he didn't get to necessarily show off that much on film. Cornelius Johnson is an interesting prospect because he had to play second fiddle to Roman Wilson a lot, but he was actually a guy per capita, like the volume of catches is smaller, but he made a lot of big plays both as a pass receiver and showed some ability with some run after catch in Michigan's offense as well. He's just not as refined overall as a route runner and as a pass catcher and some of the run after catch, but he did. He certainly had his fair share of big plays throughout his career. It wasn't with the volume, and he's not quite as feisty and physical of a player is what I was describing with Roman Wilson.
It's unreal. Like, when you're looking at the names that are going to be at the combine, obviously the list is dropped and you're seeing some of the players that are going to be there. I mean, obviously names that stand out, and the wide receiver class, I mean, it is deep. There's some big talent on there. I mean, you know, guys we didn't even get to, like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. He's a stud. He's just a big body guy that looks like, you know, DK Metcalf. You know, a lot of guys that I've like Troy Franklin from Oregon. Mm. I mean, just the wide receiver room looks really, really, really good. Talking about Devontae Walker, somebody that I like as well. Brian Thomas Jr., which is why I was kind of hating on Jaden Daniels a little bit, saying that he just had the luxury of throwing its two first-round picks that are going to be there. Yeah. So that's going to be good. But all right, and I really do want to talk about the running backs that are going to be coming out, some of those names from the Big Ten, because I really have some questions about those. So we'll do that. Yep. If you have any names that you want to see, what's Anthony Heron hearing, you could text those in as well, and we'll finish this up on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez and Anthony Heron right here on The Score.
In the run game, they go back to their 1,000-yard rusher, and now it's Corum is loose. Blake Corum down the sidelines. They've got an angle. He cuts it back and finally is brought.
We're back live with more of Anthony Heron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Nice little highlight there from Blake Corum. Shout out to ESPN for that one. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron here on 670 The Score. One last what you hearing, Heron? I'm going to do that more often. I feel like that was a gem. I feel like it's a gem.
It's been sitting there waiting on us.
Put my producer cap on today, and I was like, you know what? I need a signature segment with Anthony Heron.
Mm-hmm.
And because I can fill in it with anything. That's the beauty behind
true.
It. True. Fill it in with what you're hearing it's about with this. I don't know. maybe we'll get into Valentine's Day later and what you're hearing about, you know, what's the word on the streets.
All right.
Ye of a 20-year marriage.
I was gonna say that'll give me a chance to come up with something.
Trust me, my boy was like, I said, what you doing Valentine's Day? He's like, oh, I got my girl a coach purse and gonna take her to dinner. I said, damn,
wow.
I said, I'm glad my girl don't ask for stuff like that.
Is it her birthday on Valentine's Day?
So then I go, I'm glad my girl don't ask for stuff like that. We don't celebrate it. He's like, I didn't get her anything last year, so I'm going hard this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
I said, okay.
Compensating.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Quickly, before we get to your snack that you got over there, sir.
Yeah, man.
And Hold on. Now you're going.
All right. Yeah.
And we got Brock coming up, Mike Golic Jr. coming up at the top of the hour. But before we do that, all right, so we know Blake Corum. We know what he is. We've seen him. Obviously, the linchpin of, everything Michigan. But I want you to talk to me about Mayan Williams from Ohio State. I'm just curious about him. And, I like hearing about some inside information about Big Ten guys. Talk to me.
So,
What you hearing, Heron?
Yeah, right. Mayan Williams he's big physical back. He's a guy with some decent top-end speed for a running back, especially a guy of his stature, his size, his build. He's been kind of injury-plagued throughout his career, and they weren't completely sure what position made the most sense at times to play him at. But when he got the rock and he was healthy, he was effective. He was impressive. But he's not a guy, especially for modern running backs and how they're valued, how they're devalued in a lot of systems. He's not a guy who's likely to be, I would say, even a day two pick. If so, maybe a late dude.
Fifth round?
Yeah, in that range. If he's a player who can go to the combine and really impress, because he's going to have impressive size. But if he tests well, because his film showcases some of that athleticism, but he's not a naturally elusive runner. He's not a naturally creative runner. But I think if he goes to the combine and puts up impressive numbers, he could maybe squeak into day two, because he did have to get the rock a decent bit throughout his Ohio State career, because their front lineback, Trayvon Henderson, was also banged up a good bit. So there were games where Mayan Williams really had to carry the mail for the Buckeyes and be the main rock toter for him. But it was kind of few and far between at times, because he certainly wasn't the most talented runner that they had with the ball in his hands. But he was able to be imposing at times. He was able to show that physicality. So he's a good runner, but he's not someone he's not likely to wow you at the combine.
All right, what you hearing about? What you hearing, Heron, and what round Blake Corum's going to go in? That's what I'm curious about. I know we know he's good. We see him. I think we know a lot about him. But what round do you think he's going
to
go in?
Blake Corum will, honestly, in a similar way to my description of Mayan Williams, a guy who will likely be day two. Well, at the same time, because of the acclaim and because it's known what he meant to Michigan's program. And I do think to some extent we're seeing teams recognizing, even you think about this Super Bowl matchup where there was a stretch going in football where, because you had a number of Hall of Fame quarterbacks who consistently had their team in the Super Bowl conversation, whether it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and just kind of year in, year out, you're thinking, all right, these same guys are with their arms just putting their team in that Super Bowl conversation. That was frankly a part of what devalued running back. We're getting to a point over the last couple of seasons where now there's more offenses around football that are recognizing balance is what makes sense. Regardless of how many rules we want to change, having balance, having an offensive line, having a running back who can do this. Maybe there's a bunch of running backs who can get it done, but there's a recognition and a respect that seems to be returning to the sport for what running backs can mean to an offense. So Blake Corum is a guy that I think will benefit from that, because coming back from injury and playing at the level he did this past season, and especially
he was good,
if he continues to get even healthier between now and the combine, he's going to have to run well. His film shows that for a guy who's not going to measure as big as you might think, he's got a thick build, but he's short. He's not real heavy. He's a physical runner. He's an elusive runner. Amazing vision. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But in the end, I do think he's going to seem to be a little bit limited in the NFL. I haven't talked to a lot of people directly about Blake Corum yet, but his injury history will be something that concerns people. There's a lot of miles on him coming out of college over these last two seasons in Michigan because of the way he ran the football so consistently between the tackles. So there's going to be some concerns there. He is likely a late day two kind of back, even though he was maybe the best running back in America over the last couple of years.
Definitely. I mean, he definitely was a guy that Michigan needed. All right, we got about a minute left. I come to you before the show and I say, I'm going upstairs, I'm going to get a snack. You want anything? You say, no, I got a Kit Kat we could break. And I said, no, don't worry about it. I'll just get my own. Then you come down here and I find out you're hoarding snacks.
Yes, yes. Multiple things were purchased here. So that's where it was going to be, I guess, a pseudo surprise, if you will, because they didn't have Hostess. They don't have Hostess at the deal upstairs. Yeah. They got kind of the off-brand cupcakes. I don't even know what this is. Never heard of it before.
It's not even Little Debbie.
But no, it's not even that. But there are two of these in here. So, I mean, you know, I'm hoarding snacks because I did make a multi-snack purchase. Just in case, because I didn't want to just be pulling out little sweet treats in here
if you pulled the dual snack out just in case, how come then when I said, hey, I'm going upstairs, you didn't say, oh, Gabe, I got two cupcakes for us?
No, that's a valid question. That's a valid question. It was...
The love's not there.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure where you're going to go with this.
That cupcake's not for me.
That's for you, man.
There's two of them.
That's what I'm saying.
There's two cupcakes.
But why didn't that get brought up? I'm curious. I'm just like...
I didn't want to stop you from going to get a snack. And I didn't want to assume you were going to want either cupcakes or Kit Kat. But all these are available. We can either break this giant Kit Kat or you can have a cupcake.
I don't know if a cupcake's enough, though, to satisfy your hunger. So maybe he was like saying, like, I could give you this, but you might need more.
I don't want to stop him from going to get a snack.
I'll tell you this. Anthony and I, not only do we do Fox 32 together, not only do we do 670 Score here in studio together, but he and I have also gone on location together to restaurants.
True, been on these remotes.
Anthony will eat an entire dessert by himself, and I've asked him, Robbie Triano, hey, man, are we splitting this? And he's like, no, this one's for me. Big-ass Sunday. So that doesn't surprise me over here with the thing, okay? He's just on par, and I get it.
I'm willing to split a Kit Kat.
Hey, you know, but that's why I wanted to go get my own.
So or a cupcake.
That. Yeah, I got you. We're going to snack.
Can't have them both.
What we're going to do is eat some snacks during this break. I know that. I don't know which ones we're going to eat some. And then we're going to talk to Mike Golic Jr., what does he think? You know, we haven't talked Bears a lot, which I think is good. It was intentional, Anthony Heron. It was for us to talk about things outside of the Bears so that way when we have guests on, we can talk to them about it. Mike Golic Jr. going to join us next. What is his angle on Justin Fields, and who does he think he'll be playing for next season? We'll talk to Mike Golic Jr. after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez and Anthony Heron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
In the run game, they go after their 1,000-yard rusher, and now it's Corum is loose. Blake Corum down the sidelines. They've got an angle. He cuts it back and finally is brought.
We're back live with more of Anthony Heron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Nice little highlight there from Blake Corum. Shout out to ESPN for that one. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron here on 670 The Score. One last what you hearing, Heron? I'm going to do that more often. I feel like that was a gem. I feel like that's a gem.
It's been sitting there waiting on us.
Put my producer cap on today, and I was like, you know what? I need a signature segment with Anthony Heron.
Mm-hmm.
And because I can fill in it with anything. That's the beauty behind
true.
It. Fill it in with what you're hearing it's about with this. I don't know. maybe we'll get into to Valentine's Day later and what you're hearing about, okay. You know, what's the word on the streets?
All right.
Ye of a 20-year marriage.
I was going to say, that'll give me a chance to come up with something.
Trust me. My boy was like, I said, what you doing Valentine's Day? He's like, oh, I got my girl a coach purse and going to take her to dinner. I said, damn.
Wow.
I said, I'm glad my girl don't ask for stuff like that.
Is it her birthday on Valentine's Day?
So then I go, I'm glad my girl don't ask for stuff like that. We don't celebrate it. He's like, no, I didn't get her anything last year, so I'm going hard. This
year. Okay, all right. All right.
Oh, okay.
Compensating.
That makes sense, yeah, man, right. Sir. That makes sense. All right, quickly, before we get to your snack that you got over there, sir.
Yeah, man.
And no, before. Okay. Hold on. Okay, right. Now you're going.
All
there.
Right. Yeah.
And we got Brock coming up, or excuse me, Mike Golick Jr. coming up at the top of the hour. But before we do that, all right, so we know Blake Corum. We know what he is. We've seen him. Obviously, the linchpin of, you know, everything Michigan. But I want you to talk to me about Mayan Williams from Ohio State. Just, I don't know, just curious about him. And, you know, I like hearing about some inside information about Big Ten guys. Talk to me.
So,
what you hearing, Heron?
Yeah, right. Mayan Williams is, he's big physical back. He is he's a guy with some decent top-end speed for a running back, especially a guy of his stature, his size, his build. He's been kind of injury-plagued throughout his career, and they weren't completely sure what position made the most sense at times to play him at. But when he got the rock and he was healthy, he was effective. He was impressive. But he's not a guy, especially, you know, for modern running backs and how they're valued, how they're devalued in a lot of systems. He's not a guy who's likely to be, I would say, even a day two pick. If so, maybe a late dude.
Fifth round?
Yeah, in that range. If he's a player who can go to the combine and really impress, because he's going to have impressive size. But if he tests well, because his film showcases some of that athleticism, but he's not a naturally elusive runner. He's not a naturally creative runner. But I think if he goes to the combine and puts up impressive numbers, he could maybe squeak into day two, because he did have to get the rock a decent bit throughout his Ohio State career, because their front linebacker, Trayvon Henderson, was also banged up a good bit. So there were games where Mayan Williams really had to carry the mail for the Buckeyes and be the main rock toter for him. But it was kind of few and far between at times, because he certainly wasn't the most talented runner that they had with the ball in his hands. But you know, he was able to be imposing at times. He was able to show that physicality. So he's a good runner, but he's not someone he's not likely to wow you at the combine.
All right, what you hearing about? What you hearing, Heron, and what round Blake Corum's going to go in? That's what I'm curious about. I know we know he's good. We see him. I think we know a lot about him. But what round do you think he's going to go in?
Blake Corum will, honestly, in a similar way to my description of Mayan Williams, a guy who will likely be day two, well, at the same time, because of the acclaim and because it's known what he meant to Michigan's program. And I do think, to some extent, we're seeing teams recognizing, even you think about this Super Bowl matchup, where there was a stretch going in football where, because you had a number of Hall of Fame quarterbacks who consistently had their team in the Super Bowl conversation, whether it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and just kind of year in, year out, you're thinking, all right, these same guys are, with their arms, just putting their team in that Super Bowl conversation. That was, frankly, a part of what devalued running back. We're getting to a point over the last couple of seasons where now there's more offenses around football that are recognizing balance is what makes sense. Regardless of how many rules we want to change, having balance, having an offensive line, having a running back who can do this. Maybe there's a bunch of running backs who can get it done, but there's a recognition and a respect that seems to be returning to the sport for what running backs can mean to an offense. So Blake Corum is a guy that I think will benefit from that, because coming back from injury and playing at the level he did this past season, and especially
he was good,
if he continues to get even healthier between now and the combine, he's going to have to run well. His film shows that for a guy who's not going to measure as big as you might think, he's got a thick build, but he's short. He's not real heavy. He's a physical runner. He's an elusive runner. Amazing vision. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But in the end, I do think he's going to seem to be a little bit limited in the NFL. I haven't talked to a lot of people directly about Blake Corum yet, but his injury history will be something that concerns people. There's a lot of miles on him coming out of college over these last two seasons at Michigan because of the way he ran the football so consistently between the tackles. So there's going to be some concerns there. He is likely a late day two kind of back, even though he was maybe the best running back in America over the last couple of years.
Definitely. I mean, he definitely was a guy that Michigan needed. All right, we got about a minute left. I come to you before the show and I say, I'm going upstairs, I'm going to get a snack. You want anything? You say, no, I got a Kit Kat we could break. And I said, no, don't worry about it. I'll just get my own. Then you come down here and I find out you're hoarding snacks.
Yes, yes. Multiple things were purchased here. So that's where it was going to be, a pseudo surprise, if you will, because they didn't have Hostess. They don't have Hostess at the deal upstairs. Yeah, yeah. They got kind of the off-brand cupcakes. I don't even know what this is. Never heard of it before.
It's not even Little Debbie.
But no, it's not even that. But there are two of these in here. So, I mean, you know, I'm hoarding snacks because I did make a multi-snack purchase. Just in case, because I don't want to just be pulling out little sweet treats in here. But
if you pulled the dual snack out just in case, How come then when I said, hey, I'm going upstairs, you didn't say, oh, Gabe, I got two cupcakes for us?
No, that's a valid question. That's a valid question. It was...
The love's not there.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure where you're going to go with this.
That cupcake's not for me.
It's
that's
not for what, you, man.
There's two of them. About?
That's what I'm saying.
There's two cupcakes.
But why didn't that get brought up? I'm curious. I'm just like...
I didn't want to stop you from going to get a snack. And I didn't want to assume you were going to want either cupcakes or Kit Kat. But all these are available. We can either break this giant Kit Kat... Or you can have, and or you can have a cupcake.
I don't know if a cupcake's enough, though, to satisfy your hunger. So maybe he was like saying, like, I could give you this, but you might need more.
I don't want to stop him from going to get a snack.
I'll tell you this. Anthony and I, not only do we do Fox 32 together, not only do we do 670 Score here in studio together, but he and I have also gone on location together to restaurants.
True. Been on these remotes.
Anthony will eat an entire dessert by himself, and I've asked him, Robbie Triano, hey, man, are we splitting this? And he's like, no, this one's for me. Big ass Sunday. But so that doesn't surprise me over here with Big, okay? He's just on par and I get it.
I'm willing to split a Kit Kat.
Hey, you know, but that's why I wanted to go get my own.
So or a cupcake.
Yeah, I got you. We're going to snack.
Can't have them both.
What we're going to do is eat some snacks during this break. I know that. I don't know which ones we're going to eat. We'll eat some. And then we're going to talk to Mike Golic Jr. What does he think? You know, we haven't talked Bears a lot, which I think is good. It was intentional, Anthony Herron. It was for us to talk about things outside of the Bears so that way when we have guests on, we can talk to them about it. Mike Golic Jr. going to join us next. What is his angle on Justin Fields, and who does he think he'll be playing for next season? We'll talk to Mike Golic Jr. after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez and Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.